Daniel chapter number 10. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 10 to verse number 14. Daniel chapter number 10, I'll read from verse number 10 to verse number 14. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day, and I want you to carefully note the word, please. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Father, as we go into your word this morning, let light shine. Speak to us. Let there be illumination in our hearts, O God. I ask for a fresh anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people, so that they will receive the word that you are sending this morning from the throne room of grace into the deepest part of their being. I ask, O God, that you anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit, make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer, and let this word be inscribed in the hearts of your people. Let it distill as the rain. Let it come down as the dew, even the dew of the morning. Let this word lift us up. Let it encourage. Let it empower. Let it direct. Let it cause reproof, instruction, and correction in righteousness, so that all of us will have been built up by your word at the end of this service. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Week. Amen. Could be better. Amen. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be sharing, and this I'm going to be talking about a message that I've titled, God is not my problem. God is not my problem. Say it with me, please. God is not my problem. Say it like you mean it. God is not my problem. Now, this is going to be the end of our Daniel series. And then, as from next week, like I've previously mentioned, we're going to go into something else. Now, the book of Daniel contains 12 chapters. The first six chapters are what you call historical narratives. They talk about history and the event that took place. The last six chapters, which is chapter number 7 to chapter number 12, are more prophetic in nature. Now, we've covered the first six chapters over 7 weeks, I believe. And I want us to just focus on two chapters, and obviously we're not going to be able to cover them, but there is a particular thing that I believe the Lord wants me to share before we move on into something else with regards to our Sunday ministration. And that is the passage I've just read a short while ago in chapter number 10. So I will try and see how we can combine chapter number 9 and 10 together, because the core of the context of the message seem to flow from one to the other. God is not my problem. God is not my problem. Now, at this time, Daniel was about 85 years old. We have seen his life right from the time he was a teenager when he was brought from Jerusalem to Babylon. And we have seen the consistency in his life as he walked with God throughout all those years. As a teenager boy, as a young adult, as a young man middle age, as an old man, a grandpa, if you like. We've seen the consistency of serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord throughout all these years. Now, there was this event that took place in the life of Daniel, which I thank the Lord God for putting it in the scriptures, because we will have lost this very vital thing that I'm about to share with you this morning. And I want you to please pay attention. This is very crucial, very important. You don't want to miss anything from what I will say this morning, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encourage the heart of someone there and wants to help you to appreciate certain things, especially when it comes to your prayer life and prayer ministry in the household of faith generally. Now, I'm sure if I ask anyone here, I'm sure there will have been people who have asked questions like, is God really interested in my life? Is God really concerned about what I go through? Doesn't God know what I'm going through? Why do I have to keep talking and praying about it? Does he really give a damn about the things that are happening in my life? And that is more often than not connected to our experiences in our prayer life, because we expect a loving God to do certain things in certain ways, and sometimes when those certain things are not done those certain ways, we begin to question the love of God. We begin to question, some people even go to the extreme extent of questioning the very existence of God. But at the end of the day this morning, I would like you to see with me how God is never the problem. How God is not my problem, how God is never your problem. He has always been our help. He has always been our support. How God is never involved in whatever problem that we are having in our lives, especially the problem of unanswered prayer. How God is not involved at all. And it is not just important to know that God is not involved in those unanswered prayers experiences, but also to appreciate what needs to be done in order to get those prayers answered. And that's why this is very important and very crucial, because Daniel was a man of prayer, and he had those experiences because he was given to prayer. As a matter of fact, we saw in verse chapter number 6 how even the fact that he was given a death threat was not going to stop him from praying 3 times facing Jerusalem. The Bible says, as his custom was. Now, let me give you a little background to the story that we've just read. Daniel, in chapter number 9, came to a point where he began to sense that the time that they were supposed to spend in captivity was already complete. Before he came around and read from the book of Jeremiah that they were supposed to be in the land of captivity for 70 years. And so he said, "I, Daniel, understood by the books as written by Jeremiah." We don't have the time to turn there in chapter number 9, that the time of the restoration of Israel was already complete. The 70 years was already complete. They were already there, 70 years. So the Bible says he turned his face to the Lord and he began to pray. And that is very important, because the fact that a prophecy has been pronounced does not necessarily mean that we fold our hands and see it done. The prophecy that has gone forth only tells you what God wants to do. It tells you the plan of God, the program of God, the agenda of God. But if we are slothful in business, as the scripture says, those things may never get done. And that's not because God does not want to do it. It's because we are not clearing the way to receive it. And we're going to see that in a short while. So the Bible says he began to pray. Now, but what I want you to see is the contrast in the experience that he had in chapter number 9 compared to chapter number 10. Chapter number 9, Daniel chapter number 9, and I will just go through verse number 20. Daniel chapter number 9, I will read verse number 20. "Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin," like I said, this time he had taken time to pray and fast. He said, "Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes. Verse number 21. Why did he have to say yes? He's saying that I mean exactly what I'm talking about. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. Now, what that place is saying is this. People of God, it was while I was praying that I had this experience. Yes, actually, when I was still praying I was still making my petition to God. That was when I had this experience. This experience was not it was not hours after. It was not days after. It was not weeks after. While I was still asking God for it, this experience came. Verse number 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand." Beautiful, isn't it? You're still praying about something, and the angel of the Lord appeared to you and began to talk to you about exactly what you're still talking about. You have not even finished your prayer. You have not even said grace. As some people will say, you know, they want to wait and finish prayer in grace. May the grace of the Lord, you have not even got to that place. And the answer came. Verse number 23 says, at the beginning of your supplication, this was what the angel told him. At the beginning of your supplication, the command went out, and I have come to tell you. For you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. See how verse number 23 opens. At the beginning of your supplications. At the beginning of your supplication. It means as soon as you went into your closet and said, "Lord, I just want to pray for filling the gap." At the beginning, the Bible says the command went out. The command went out. The Lord it's like God said, "Oh, look, Daniel is praying about the matter. Hey, okay, so go and answer him now." While he's still praying, that was the experience. How many people would love to have that kind of an experience about the things we pray about? You're just there, you're still in your closet, and while you're still there, you're getting a response. You're trusting the Lord for a job, and while you are in your closet, you know, somebody knocked at, you have not even finished praying, somebody knocked at the door and brought out came to deliver a letter that you got a job. You know, and you just say, "Holy Spirit, excuse me, I just want to open the door and get the." I hope you do that when you're praying and you need to attend to something. Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. You just don't badge out. He's there. Okay, we'll talk about that some other time. So you went there and you collect the letter and say, "Wow, you have been asked to come and start this job maybe tomorrow or even that day." Like somebody had an experience. Don't think I'm saying something. Taffy had that experience. They called her. I hope you don't mind me talking about you, right? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, we'll see after the service. I will ask for forgiveness, okay? You know, you're getting this job. So where can you start? We want you to start today. Today? Yes. But I'm still in my pajamas. Yeah, you can go and change up and come to work today. That happened to her. Praise God. So what we're talking about is not something strange. So that was an experience. Okay? And that's the cool experience. That's the kind of experience we want. We just love. How many people would be encouraged to pray if that was always the experience? You know, you just need it. You just, as you're just praying, it just comes. You just need it. You just get it. You just call. You know? So let's see the chapter number 10 version. Chapter number 10 version. So again, just a background. In chapter number 10, so what happened was Daniel in chapter number 9 had prayed for the people of God to return to the land of Jerusalem. At that time, they had been in captivity for about 70 years. So he prayed that the Lord would return them according to his word through the prophet Jeremiah. Now, 2 years down the line, if you see chapter number 10, it starts with, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia. If you see chapter number 9, it starts with, in the first year. Okay? In chapter number 10, it talks about, in the third year. So 2 years down the line, Daniel got troubled again. The question is, what's troubling this old 85-year-old man? Why is he always getting troubled? What's his problem? Now, the problem at this time was not about the fact that people did not return. It was the fact that enough people did not return into the land of Jerusalem. They have been too paganized to even remember what Jerusalem was. They had stayed, like I said, up to 70 years in a strange land. They have eaten all the strange food in the land, that when it was time for them to return, even though the king even supported them to go back, the king of the land of Persia supported them to go back into Jerusalem to rebuild their wall, to rebuild the temple, they were just too complacent to want to go. They were just not, they just didn't want to go. Don't forget, these were now like 2-3 generations down the line. There were actually people who had never even known what Jerusalem was like. They were born in captivity. They were born in Babylon. So when it was like, oh, guys, let's go back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, what for? We have even established business here. Things are going well. You know, we have everything. So that grieved the heart of Daniel, and he went back to the Lord. What's happening? As a matter of fact, only 42,300 went back, according to the book of Ezra. 42,300 and about 7,000 servants went back. Out of the multitude of them that were residing there, because they were just too paganized, they were just not concerned about returning to Jerusalem. The life of worship in Jerusalem has completely been drained out of their system. They did not remember anything about it. And don't forget, like I said, there were generations that had never even been to Jerusalem. Some of them did not even have an idea of who God was, Yahweh was. Okay, so that troubled Daniel. And Daniel said, Lord, this man loved Jerusalem. He loved the house of the Lord. He wanted to see the kingdom built again. He wanted to see the temple reconstructed. He wanted to see the wall of Jerusalem. He wanted to see them sing the song, this is the song of Zion, again in the land. You know, the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, when we sat down, where we wept when we remember Zion. This was the generation of the people that knew how Zion was supposed to be like. Okay, and they wanted to go back, but he has seen them not wanting, they were just not interested in going back. So that was his problem. You now understand why he's fasting now? Now, so he went into fasting and praying, a different kind of fast. We don't have the time to go into that. A different kind of fast. And then he was praying about this situation. Lord, do something about this situation. These people need to go back into Jerusalem. The wall needs to be rebuilt. The problem was, even the few of them that were able to make it back to Jerusalem, as they began to build the wall, build the temple, they were discouraged. They became disillusioned. They started making mockery of them, the people around. So they got tired, exhausted. There was not enough fire in their bones to continue. So they became dejected, basically. And the work stopped, literally stopped. So Daniel was concerned about that, and then he started praying. Now, he started fasting, praying and fasting. Like I said, a different kind of fast. The Bible says he was mourning, grieving in his spirit, you know. Said he was denying himself, and he was praying about it. Now, verse number 10 of chapter number 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Suddenly an angel came. Now, but you're going to see the difference here. The Bible says in verse number 12, let's skip over to verse number 12. Then he said to me, this was the angel speaking, do not fear, Daniel. Now, for from what? From the first day, does that sound like what is in verse number 9? Absolutely. Because it actually happened the first day too. It says, as your word was coming forth, the command came forth in chapter number 9. The command came forth that you should go and give answer to Daniel. I'm just paraphrasing. No, so the angel in verse number 12 said exactly the same thing that happened in chapter number 9 when you prayed 2 years ago. Exactly the same thing happened. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Did you hear that? Your words were heard. Your words were heard. Your words were heard. And that's why I don't understand where people got this idea that you don't need to speak to pray. to God. What the Bible teaches is that it is possible for you to speak in your heart praying to God. So you don't just keep mum and assume that something is going to happen. So your words were heard because it is those words that convey the desires of your hearts to God. Okay? And it may be shouting, it may be mumbling, but there must be a communication of some sort. Okay? Just like we have the example of Anna. The Bible says when he was moving his lips was moving, but nothing was coming out. It was grieving in her heart. And Eli came in and he said, the Lord will do exactly what you have. So there must be a communication of something. Your words were heard. Your words were heard. People of God, it is important for us to release words to connect with God. He says, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words, not because of your feelings. Not because of the fact that the situation is so bad and terrible, something must be done. Because of your words. In other words, if you don't speak, you remain exactly the same. Perhaps even go down go deeper into the problem. Your words were heard. I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. I've not come because of the situation. I've not even come because you felt so bad. I came because your words were heard. I came because of that word. The word that came from prayer and the place of prayer. Now, and notice the time. The timing is very important. The same day that word came, that was the same day you say, for from the first day, your words were heard, the same day. Verse 13, this is where we're going now. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of your chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So this is what happened. This experience happened on the 21st day of his prayer. In chapter number 9, he was still praying when he had an encounter with the angel. In chapter number 10, he had prayed and fasted, mourning, for 21 days before this experience happened. What is the problem? What is the difference? Now, on both occasions, the words were heard from heaven the same day. On both occasions, his words were heard in heaven the same day. On both occasions, the answers to his question were sent the same day. On both occasions, the answers to his questions were sent through the angel on the same day. But here is the difference, and that's why I'm so grateful to God that he put this in his word. Because more often than not, the experience that we have in the context of our prayer and petitioning to God does not exactly always fit into chapter number 9 experience, whereby you are praying, you are getting the answer right here, right now. More often than not, our experience is the chapter 10 experience, whereby you are praying and it seems as if nothing is happening. But don't forget, on both occasions, the words were heard the same day, answers were sent the same day. And it wasn't like one angel was faster than the other. No. Because there is no distance in the realm of the spirit, as it were. It wasn't like the cars they were bringing was, you know, one is better model than the other. No. But there was an encounter in chapter number 10 in the spirit realm. And any believer that does not understand the reality of the spirit man, that man is dead. The reality of the spirit realm. That the spirit world is real. And people of God, I want you to do something for me, and I want you to please do it as I give you the instruction. Can you hold your right hand up, please? Your right hand? Okay. Can you touch your left hand with it? Is the left hand there? Do you feel it? Is it real? Is your left hand there? Is it real? Thank you. The spirit realm is more real than your left hand that you have just felt now. The spirit realm is more real than the left hand that you have just touched now. So what happened? The angel was given an answer. Daniel is praying. Go and tell him. So. But on his way here, he encountered the spiritual world of darkness. The answer has been given. He has been, God heard his prayer the same day, gave an answer. The answer was delivered, was to be delivered to him. And on the way to dispatch the answer, he was held up. Why? Because in the realm of the spirit, we are dealing with some very bad guys over there. I'm using this language so that you bring your idea of movies into it. You know, some bad guys are over there. And they don't have any assignment, any job, than to ensure that there is no communication between your God in heaven and you on earth. That's their job. They want to make sure that there is no link. Why? Because your ruling here is a function of your connectedness with there. Okay? So if they can detach the umbilical cord that connects you on earth to the throne room of grace, they have succeeded. So those guys are there. Now, what the Bible says is they withstood him. These forces of darkness withstood the angel that was bringing the answer. And so the answer was hanging over there. You know, when we get to heaven, many of us will realize many of those answers that never came. And we will for the first time realize that on the day you ask that question from the heavens, from God, that same day it was dispatched. I mean, God will bring out his record and say, when you get to God and say, God, you know, I didn't get that job. And say, no. I released that job. Say, no, you did not. I'm sorry, God. You did not. And you say, I call the angel and say, Joe said he didn't receive that. What, did you send it? I said, certainly, sir. I did it. Okay, let's check the record. 1st of January 2017, yes, it was sent. But you say, but I did not deliver it. Oh, sorry, I did not receive it. And they will say, oh, let's check in the heavenlies. And then they will see the job hanging like that. Are you getting the picture? Because it left heaven, it was never delivered to earth. Why? Because they withstood the angel that was coming with it. That was the experience here. Now, this man continued to pray and fast for 21 days. Now, what was happening? Because as he continued to pray and fast, power is being released. The Bible says, the effect, and take note of this, people of God, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Another translation put it this way. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, of an uncompromisingly righteous man, makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working, amplified. It makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So the power that is released continue to push, as it were. I'm just trying to give a picture, a mental picture to help you, so that you don't get discouraged when things are not happening as suddenly as you had expected. It's pushing the answer to earth from heaven. So when we come to God to pray about things, especially in subsequent times, don't picture it as, well, let me just wrestle with this God. He's so stingy, he doesn't release things fast. You know, God! No. God is not your problem. The same day you... Think about it. You are in a financial crisis, and you are asking God to release funds for you. Why will he keep it there? Think about it. What is he going to gain keeping it there as your father? The Bible says, blessed be God who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. When I bought my first car and I drove it to my home, everyone in the neighborhood got to know, because my father would not just keep short. Why? Takes pleasure in the prosperity of his son. Exactly. God wants to take pleasure in the fact that you got it done. So it's not his problem to release it. But there is a wrestling that takes place in the realm of the spirit. There is a contention that takes place. Now, at this time, now look at the way it describes that angel in verse number 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, now, this is certainly not talking about a human person, because no human being can withstand an angel. The Bible says they are ministering spirits. It says he makes them ministers, and they are flames of fire. So this is not talking about a human agent. He said the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, at this time, there was a king in Persia, physical king in Persia. But that physical king in Persia was just a, what do you call something that you just control with your hand that does not, is not really the one in control. It's just a puppet. That's the right word I'm looking for. That king, Cyrus, was just a puppet. Whatever he does is as dictated by the prince of Persia. It was the prince of Persia that was literally controlling the economy of that state. But when people will be in trouble, the person they will go to fix it will be the king of Persia, the physical puppet king of Persia. Over nations, there are princes. That's why people believe that there are princes. They call them territorial spirits, as it were, that rules over communities, villages, towns, states, that take charge of everything that takes place there. They have been given that assignment. We're talking about a sophisticated network of kingdom. So as they say it, it is done over there. So in order to make changes on the physical, it's not the king you talk to first. You need to deal with the prince. Nothing happens on the earth until the prince is dealt with. By the grace of God, people of God, when we wanted to start this church a few years ago, the first couple of months, we were just fasting and praying. And what were we dealing with? We were not dealing with, oh, let people love me. Oh, let people come to me. Oh, all those things are good and important. But if you are carrying out an assignment of heaven in a place, know that there is a kingdom of darkness that is not happy. And no one comes into the house of a strong man, the Bible says, unless that strong man is bound. Is bound. And that's the way, that's the reason why, that's when you can walk around. Because that strong man is bound. Now, there are princes over homes and families that are orchestrating the way things are taking place. And we in the natural, all we see is that man is very bad. You know, the husband will say, that woman is very bad. I don't even know where, she must be a demon. No, there are princes that are orchestrating the way things are taking place. So they hang things up in the spirit. They encounter the angel that is supposed to be bringing peace and harmony into your home, and they hang it up there. So what do? You get discouraged because you prayed once, twice. Nothing seems to be happening. The man is even getting worse. You know, he used to be an alcoholic. Now he's now an alcoholic and a womanizer combined. You know, things are now getting worse. And you get discouraged, dejected, and you say, God does not love me. If he does, he should have done something about the man. He did it the first day you asked. He's just hanging. And so what do? You keep releasing power. You keep releasing power. The contention is not about, it's not overcoming God. You know, sometimes when we pray, we pray with the sense that we are trying to overcome and just get something out of him. No. We are pressurizing our way, as it were, in the realm of the spirit to clear the path to get it delivered. Because he left him, some of our gift left him years ago, some months ago, some weeks ago. And that's why I said, God is not my problem. God is not my problem. It says, and then I don't have the time to go into the details now, and then I have to get Michael. Michael, one of your princes. I love that. Michael, one of your princes. In other words, he recognizes you. Michael recognizes you. This is one of the angel, the people often refer to as the archangel, you know. The book of Jude talks about Michael, you know, telling the devil, your Lord rebukes you. You know, it's like somebody has been sent and you now need a reinforcement to break out your way. You need a reinforcement because those guys are. That's why the Bible tells you are not. Our welfare is not with flesh and with blood. The Bible says we're fighting against principalities. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual hosts. The word host means multitude, many. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the high places. These guys, they just hate you and her. They just want to destroy you and her. And do you see the hierarchy? There are powers, there are principles. I don't know how they are set up. But don't forget, the devil came from God. So he knows very well about how to set up kingdoms. Operational kingdoms. He said, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against that guy in your place of work that is talking to you in a brash man. No. You're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the high places. I'll round up, people of God. What am I saying? You don't give up your prayer and your fasting. You don't give up the release of your power. As a matter of fact, the more you need to do such, because you know it has left heaven, but it's not here on earth. It has left heaven. The first day you have, as you are conceiving it, heaven is releasing it. The first day, on both occasions. But you need to keep praying. You need to be pushing. You know, we talk about push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. There's nothing like overpraying. You can't overpray. You know, there are experiences, and by the grace of God, as you grow in God, there are times when you get into a position where you say you know you have prayed true. You know, you know there are certain instances when I pray about certain matters and I just have a praying true, and I just felt it's done, even though it's not here, but I felt I've prayed true. You know, I just wait for it, but you don't have to develop that. Just keep praying, whether it's complete or not. Don't just keep releasing power. So when as you pray, you just see there is a movement. There is a movement. Each time you pray, there is a movement. It's like you want to knock off the wall. When you hit the first blow, it's weaker, even though it has not crumbled. It's weaker. And you give the next one, it becomes much weaker. It has not crumbled. You just need to keep doing it. Now, if Daniel has stopped on day 14, for instance, the answer wouldn't have returned to heaven. The answer would just have been hanging there. Somebody would say, what about day 20? It would still have been hanging there. Pray until something happens. People of God, this is what I want you to get. This is what I want to help you to propel your prayer life. You have not missed it. You know, I will close with this. I said that about 5 minutes ago. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14. You know, there are certain scriptures, when you read them, it doesn't really, you really don't believe them, but because it's in the Word, you can't contest it, but it's not your experience. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14. It says this. 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Are you there? 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask what? Anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, what if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. We know we have it. Now, what does that mean? He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And it says, and that's the confidence we have. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. In other words, we have this confidence that when we ask Him, He releases it. Now, because what some people will take that to mean is, when we ask Him, I have it here. No, that's not what it's saying. It says, if we ask Him, He releases it. He gives it. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. As we ask him, he releases it. But people of God, it might have left heaven. Because God is love. But you need it here, isn't it? You don't need those things in the heavenly places. What's the point of having peace hanging up in the heavenly places when you need it in your home? What's the advantage of having joy, love, you know, progress in the heavenly places where you need it here? What's the point of having a good job hanging in the heavenly places? Because demons don't go to work, you know, as in they don't go to office. Their work is what they are doing. What's the point? So we need, people of God, we need to keep pushing. We need to keep pushing. Recognizing that God releases it the first day that you're asking. This is a call, people of God, to pray more, trust him more, believe him more. And as we do that, it may take 10 days, it may take 12 days, it may take 5 months. In fact, it may take years, but it has left heaven. I don't want you to be discouraged, people of God. Somebody will say, "Boy, I've been praying for this boy, you know, for years. It's just getting worse." There is a movement. There has been a movement in the heavens. And what he wants you to do, the prince of Persia, as it were, wants to do, is to keep you discouraged so that you give up. And then he will just keep it. But if you keep pressing in, people of God, it is bound by covenant, to arrive here. Shall we pray?